We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
I told some people to lose my number, too.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
That's how you build a freaking football team.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Oh, let's talk about the trenches and the big guys.
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift on 92.9 The Game is presented by the Georgia Hemp Company. The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
I have a question just popped in my head that I've been wondering for like a month now. Can I ask y'all something?
Yeah, sure.
What is the difference between a regular phone call and a FaceTime audio?
I don't know.
Is the same thing?
Good question.
Is one just like
I think FaceTime
Wi-Fi and one's through cell?
Yes, I think FaceTime audio uses Wi-Fi because I'm not mistaken. You have to have. I don't know. Do you need Wi-Fi for a FaceTime? I don't think you do.
You just need cell.
You do. That's why Orin says you do.
No,
I don't think you do.
You can FaceTime anywhere.
I think you do.
You have to have Wi-Fi for FaceTime.
I'm going to turn my Wi-Fi off here in a minute, and I'm going
to
FaceTime. I
guarantee you'll be able to FaceTime.
Fine.
I mean, if you're not unlimited data.
Yeah.
My question is, the reason I asked this, and can you guys, you know why I'm asking this?
Did we do a
because I just don't know why we don't use FaceTime audio.
You know what it might be? You know what it might be?
Because you can do it all at the same time. You can call the entire
group. Are you trying to call out Dylon?
I should call him out. That's why I'm asking the question.
I don't
know if it's a call out thing.
I think when you do that FaceTime thing, basically you just click it and you connect yourself automatically
to
the invite.
Join.
It's like an invite.
Join in the group.
But here's the thing.
Yes.
First off, me and Dylon talked trash about y'all before, so that's one of the reasons why we don't do that.
That makes sense.
And I tell Dylon how the show needs to be ran. I'm just kidding.
Is that why I'm always last?
You're last because no one wants to be on the phone with you that long.
It's like double dutch for me and Bo. We're talking about you, then we don't know when you're going to join. So, at some point, we're just gambling that we have to stop.
No one likes you guys anyway.
It's kind of basically the loser's got to buy the other a steak dinner. The one that gets caught talking trash about you.
The person who says something last.
Yeah.
That was such an evil laugh.
That's so funny, though. That's so good.
I'm
just always like, so Dylon calls us one by one for the show call, and I'm like, I just keep thinking, if we use FaceTime audio, he could just hit call one time and we would all join.
I agree, but me and Dylon also have to make sure we lay out the show before we let you guys know what we're doing. I mean, that's kind of part of it.
Okay, it's a quick shift.
I thought I used to be first, and then he would call you, but because Dylon, I feel like I'm always like, yo, let's go, but Dylon gets on, which I appreciate, and wants to talk about life. It's like, hey,
what's good?
How's it going? Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, it's going good. And then Dylon will be like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. Sometimes when I don't have time for it, I'm like, hey man, let's go.
Dylan's like, you guys are all jerks. everybody. He's trying to be nice, and we're like, let's get it moving.
I bet you the whole FaceTime thing uses the Apple network. And maybe not the whoever your phone is.
What's an Apple network?
I don't know. Like they're I don't know. I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah,
I have no clue.
Like,
all right,
sounds
cool.
Like, all
right. It's real cool, Bo.
Yeah.
Great. Dialon, we love
just,
you.
I just had to ask that.
We love
I was
your
just
positivity.
Curious.
I just want to make sure I get that.
I'm just trying to
out.
Make things easier for Dialon if he just hits call the group, you know. Morning shift FaceTime audio call.
See, I'm not first on the calls anymore because I think Dylan was like, this girl's weird and like she doesn't want to like banter. I'm just gonna go.
Right.
So now I'm last.
You're probably right.
Did I not used to be first, Dial? You can just raise your hand at me.
Yeah.
Just to confirm. Yep, I did. And now I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Ah, well.
Anyway, if you ain't first, you're last. And
as long
Braves.
As you hit the mute button on your phone calls, I don't care when they call you.
You know, look, Mike, shut up. Just shut up this morning. The Braves, another comeback in the books for them in their series against the Mets. Did it in the opener. And they do it again last night, down 1-4. And they come back to win 7-5 to take now two games out of this three-game set.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael Harris.
What a game last night. Yeah. Holy Michael
Big
Harris.
Time.
And
yeah.
I was literally, I want to say 3 days ago, I was literally griping about Michael. Was that Tuesday that me and Bo were talking?
Yeah, it was one of those days.
I was like, you know, basically Michael Harris was one of my fantasy keepers. I'm feeling on my, you know, I'm getting on my emotional pedestal as far as like what all is going on. And I'm like, dude, what is it going to take for him to be benched? He's been like a, you know, defensive only player almost in a lot of different ways. And by the way, still was last night. Two of the catches that he and Ronald Acuña made going up against the wall in the last couple innings absolutely saved the game. But turned around offensively, had a couple of big hits. And, you know, as you said, the two-run homer to put them away for good. Very reminiscent of two nights ago and the comeback win for the Braves, you know, being able to mount that. Come back two nights ago, it was probably a little bit tougher last night with Scherzer seemingly dealing at one point, but they were able to get to him and kind of knock him off the mound. Him and Morton kind of equaled out in a lot of different ways, but huge win. They've now won the series, you know, no matter what happens tonight, and I think that everybody kind of needs to buckle up going into game three, man. Spencer Strider and Justin Verlander tonight is going to be a huge one, but obviously – the biggest, I think, noisemaker last night, probably Pete Alonso getting hit in the hand off the top of like, I feel like everybody was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to address that because I know that I was like, hey, you know what? Throw at him, whatever. Show him, teach him a lesson. This wasn't intentional. You can see it wasn't intentional the way Morton reacted. Morton was trying to come in, and it just the ball just stayed out. And when it stayed out, or inside, I guess you could say, and it and basically Alonso got hit. He would never have thrown at Alonso's hands or face. If you're gonna hit a guy, you normally throw at his butt or you know maybe behind him,
lower ribs.
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't throw at a guy's hands because you know that'll hurt them. So he didn't mean to. It was unfortunate. I didn't like the fans cheering when he got hit. I think we have great fans. I thought the fans were phenomenal last night. I love the fact that they booed Alonso when he came up.
So, wait, you think that like they should have been able to tell instantly this was an accident?
Well,
and
yeah.
But if they had hit him with the way that you say a hit should be thrown, then would you be okay with the cheering?
I would just – no, I don't – I think you just boo him going down to the base. But to cheer, it just means that you're happy. I say you boo because he's, you know, because he's moving down the baseline. When you see a guy get hit around your hands or your face area, you don't cheer for that because that's where guys get really hurt. You know, you can miss significant time, as Travis d'Arnaud did. What was it? I think it was 21 season where he missed that significant time with the hand issue. I think broken thumb or you know index finger or something. So nah, you don't cheer for that. I don't like that necessarily. But look, Alonso being out didn't hurt the Mets because three of their runs came or their from off the bat of Tommy Pham, who came in and had a 2-run homer and a sack fly that gave them three of their runs. Without that, you win this game like 7-2. So it was an easy win without that.
Well, it kind of kicked it in overdrive too. And I kind of tweeted this out last night that at a certain point I was going to put a tweet out about Morton settling down and finishing strong. He had just gotten over the 100 pitch mark when Tommy Pham came up to bat with two outs. And I was like, oh, I'm about to send this tweet about Morton really look, he buckled, he, you know, he strapped in, he got him through the game, you know, he made sure he limited the damage, and then Tommy Pham uncorks one, and I was like, oh, that's not good. So had to kind of repeal that tweet and send a different one.
We were just talking about Michael Harris, and you were mentioning how the slump that he was in, and you guys wanted him to, like, kind of get off that slide. I was just pulling up here on the AJC. Our friend and our buddy of the show, Justin Toscano, had a great little snippet in here about the pep talk that Marcell Ozuna had given to Harris in the game on Tuesday. And Tuesday obviously didn't work out for him then, because I think he he was out, and then comes back last night and then just, you know, like, wills this team to victory. But part of that pep talk was Ozuna telling him, you got to trust yourself. Like, you're not just the best guy in this league. You're the best guy in the entire MLB. And forget about anything that happened earlier in the season. So I thought that was a pretty cool little snippet there.
Well, and who better to talk to him about it at this point in time than Marcell Ozuna, who was hitting 0.083 in April, and now here we are on June 8th, and his average is all the way to .235. His own base percentage has gone up greatly. Like, Ozuna now has now it's not great, but his own base percentage went from like .180 to .315. He is seeing, and he's, by the way, he's contributing. Ozuna had another two hits last night. He had a big hit Tuesday night. Him talking to Harris, I think, from the mental aspect of keep digging, keep grinding, is great. And Michael Harris, like we talked about, he's staying in there, or he was staying in there because of the runs he saves you. He saved you runs last night while producing, what, three RBIs of his own. And that home run, I mean, that's dead center. That's what, dude.
Well, And Harris was incredible defensively. Ronald Acuna as well, though. That catch he made against Pham with the bases loaded to limit that to one tag-up run in that inning, man. That is an absolutely massive play that allows you to go on and win the game when things really could have got turned on their head. So shout-out to both them, and kudos for the Braves' defense last night. Absolutely coming through. Huge catches, huge plays, and a huge situation.
By the way, I know that it looks great because we're up, what, 7.5 games on the Mets. The Marlins have won, what, like, 6, 7, 8 straight.
They're hot, dude.
They
really, really.
You're only 3 up on them. So this division, this is nice with the Mets, but right now they're not the number one enemy.
Braves still got to find a way to get it done tonight. Still to come here on the morning shift, Falcons head coach Arthur Smith joined our Dukes and Bell. We'll take a listen to what he had to say about how they're going to try to be a physical team this season. That's next here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Started.
Go ahead.
With the morning shift.
Time for the show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back here on the morning shift, and Falcons head coach Arthur Smith, he joined our Dukes and Bell out at Flowery Branch yesterday, and Mike asked Arthur Smith on how the Atlanta Falcons can take advantage on the physicality and size on the, they have on this team.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got a lot of unique personnel packages we can throw at you, you know, offensively and defensively. Right. We feel good about the depth in a lot of spots. And yeah, like I said, it's going to be fun. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that, with different skill sets, and we can deploy different personnel groups, and we can get into to empty with big personnel groups. And you, right. And it's not that you've got a bunch of slow people out there and you're just doing it because you think that's, you know, in vogue or whatever. I mean, it's a problem. We can – you know, should have some good matchups, and we've got guys that can catch and run. We got guys that can get the ball out of the backfield, or they can also split out and are legitimate route runners. So offensively, that's fun. And then you look at defensively, we can a lot of depth up front. We can get a lot of different personnel packages. We got guys that, you know, with Troy and Caden, you know, guys that can pressure the quarterback, but guys that can legitimately run and cover. And then on the back end, we've got feel pretty good about our depth as well.
Is this the new NFL? I've heard a lot this offseason about how you have described what you want to attempt to do with this football.
Right.
We had Drake come in here earlier, and he was talking about this. And, you know, I'm assuming that guys are hearing this, because the first thing I think about when I hear positionless football is positionless basketball, where everybody on the floor can handle the ball, shoot, rebound, lead the break. And I'm thinking, can you explain how you view this when you have all these chess pieces on the table? Am I seeing or hearing this correctly?
I think you're seeing a natural evolution. I think you're seeing it in a lot of sports. I mean, I'm watching the NBA Finals, and you see Jokic, like, bring the ball up.
Right.
You know, and you're seeing a lot of young kids. I mean, look at the state of Georgia. I mean, look, this is a football-crazy place. The amount of talent that gets recruited out of here, and it seeps down to the youth level and the coaching here and the development. And sometimes I think people go overboard with the year-round, but that's a – subject for a different day. We can go on that rant if you want me to filibuster there. But in all seriousness, you know, when kids are playing basketball year-round, or they're playing in these 7-on-7s, they're more skilled. So the talent level coming into the league, I think, is a little bit different. I mean, you go back and you look at a mid-90s, you know, football game. A guy got played a running back, and he was in the eye. You know, on third down, you go back and look at these things. These guys are taking, you know, under center drops on third and eight, and they're in the eye formation, or, you know, our strong formation, offset back, two back, stuff like that. And those guys, you know, they just played running back. Maybe they're a little bit in the screen game. Well, you get these 7-on-7 leads. You look at a guy like Bijan, and he did some of it at Texas, but that was a talented group. I mean, he obviously won the Duke Walker, but you go back to, you know, some of his high school 7-on-7 and playing in the slot. So this isn't super foreign for him. And there's a lot of players like Bijan coming in, and you've seen it, and certainly we've done it with Cordell Patterson.
Right.
And then you see the Niners kind of do it with Debo after that. And then when you really go back, we did a lot of it with Janu in Tennessee, you know, some of it, not a ton, but enough where crack toss play he had against Houston, and some of the stuff we did in the red zone, him coming out of backfield, and the way we deployed him a little bit different. I mean, A.J. Brown, if we had asked A.J. to go play running back, I'm confident he could have done it in the way he can catch and run, and he was also a great baseball player. So I think you're seeing guys that are more skilled. Now you could say, hey, fundamentally, maybe guys aren't as developed as they used to be position specific, but that's what I think you're seeing the trends in sports.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I'm just giving my theory.
Right. It is Arthur Smith with us, guys. We're going to have for an hour, man. So we got all sorts of areas we can cover. But we just had Jake Matthews in earlier. We replayed it for the audience. The offensive line, I know you got to plug in your left guard. There's a competition there. But it just seems like you established your personality on this team. We're going to run the football. We're going to be a physical team. And it just seems like this year, all the things you want to do is based on an offensive line that's maybe the best it's been since you've been here.
Yeah, those guys have done a great job. The growth and the you know, that's a consistency, and that's why you know, I think you go back and look at the history, and there's one thing going back and listening to Jimmy Johnson and some of the stuff I've read about him, and he talks about how important that O-line coach is and the development in that position. And I think Dwayne Ledford's done a terrific job. And these guys and the way their habits, like, that's a tough room to step into.
Right.
So when, you know, Matt Bergeron or Javon Gwynn come in there, and we like the makeup of them, you know, hey, these guys are off and running. Like, we got our development plans for them, but you better catch up. And feel really good about the culture in that room, those guys, and Jake and Chris, you know, their leadership in their own way. So we got to continue to improve, and that's the thing in the NFL, you got to improve every year. And it's not just like, hey, run the ball. We're going to be physical in the protection as well. I mean, you can be a pass protector. You can be a physical. We want to be physical in everything we do. So it's not just, hey, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We're trying to get explosives. We're trying to change the launch points, all that stuff.
Let's talk about Desmond Ridder, Coach, because I know you're tired of talking about Desmond Ridder because it's all anybody's talked about this offseason. But it is a big deal, right? I mean, it is the next step. And I think people want to know, specifically Falcon fans, how are we developing him? How are you going about that process of making Des better from year one to year two? We know we only saw 4 starts, but my guess is, and I've said this to our audience, you probably have a much better feel than anybody else in seeing him every day behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going about developing him?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it, and I'm not going to get into every single nuance, but some of it's just, you know, practical. You know, Des is a guy coming into this league that has a lot of starts. It's the hardest thing when you're developing quarterback is getting real game reps. And there's been people who've tried. You know, there was the virtual reality trend that went belly up about 8 or 9 years ago. I believe it was out of Stanford, and some teams have bought in. And then you go back and look at the teams that bought in. They usually had somebody was invested in it, was trying to push it, and that didn't really work. But you know, and people have tried. And you know, how do you develop quarterbacks when there's only so many reps you can get? There's only so many game reps. Well, Des has got a lot of game reps, right, coming into the league, which helps. Now, the NFL is a little bit different in the way we brought him on last year, so he's got 4 starts on him. And it's just your philosophy. You know, this time of year, like, we're trying to push Desmond, you know, with different looks and different things we're challenging on the field to apply it. And then really in the classroom, he's got to take another step. But I think when you step in this role and you got to let him lead in his own way, you know, I think sometimes – too many coaches, they've had success from another place, and they come in there and they want you to act like this player. And that becomes fraudulent. And guys see right through that. Des has got his own style, and he's a real, real dude. And so there's a lot of things that Dave Ragone, myself, we try to make things hard for him out here, best we can, in this kind of controlled environment of what I call a passing camp.
Right.
And get him to push the limits, because you got to make those throws in practice. Mm. Or, you know, you can card him up on a Friday, getting a game plan, and, you know, make him feel good, and all of a sudden that's not real. And we got to try that stuff now. So we're constantly pushing Des, and very excited about how he's coming along and the way he's working.
That was Falcons head coach Arthur Smith, who joined our Dukes and Bell. And, you know, a lot of things that we could take away from this conversation, I can just, I guess, talk about the most recent one, which was Desmond Ridder and trying to develop him as a starting quarterback. You know, the thing that he pointed out was Des does have a lot of starts, and that's one of the hardest things to have going into trying to develop someone as a starting QB in this league. Of course, Smith did mention college is different, but Des does have those 4 starts coming in here. But I know you've been out at some of the OTAs, Mike. You know, they're trying to challenge him out there.
Yeah, honestly, challenging him was the key word in that interview for me, and showing him different looks. And what that means is, sometimes on purpose, the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator can get together on their scripts and maybe purposely put Desmond Ridder in a bad situation, see how he reacts to it. Right? Maybe he's running a play where there's a bootleg and you're running some kind of corner blitz off the backside. Right? He's going to boot right into it. See if he recognizing it. You know, see if he can see the zone or man defense. See if he understands what the defense is trying to do to him, and seeing if he can get Atlanta put in the right play. I love the word challenging. We are challenging him in different scenarios throughout these practices. And that'll be the key to me to, like he said, developing him, getting him through those different scenarios and different situations throughout OTAs and throughout training camp to make sure he's well prepared, no matter what the situation may be or what the defenses try to do to him throughout the first few weeks of the season.
And don't you feel like, I mean, that's the most important thing for him right now, That's that to me, that could be the difference in the season. You've got the you think you got the if you can stay healthy, right? And we're going to get to that later with a big injury, a bigger injury than people realize for this team coming up at 7. But if with all the guys they have, they can stay healthy. The offensive line is it could be well improved just with the one person at left guard, because I think 5 different guys started next to Jake last year at left guard through the season. But if Desmond has an understanding of what the defenses are doing and he can help get those guys in the right play, the rest of it should kind of fall into place, shouldn't it? I mean, I know it's not that simple, but
no,
but
you're right. I think one of the things that you don't talk about enough, or we don't talk about enough, as far as developing quarterback, is just situational awareness, right? I mean, it's when the quarterback is doing certain things. Too many times do we get in here and say, well, you know, he's a little bit off target on this throw, or well, you know, his drop is this, or his throwing motion is this. When it comes down to it, the situational awareness you're going to face as a starting quarterback, hey, there's 2 minutes left. Hey, there's 1.5 minutes left. Hey, they're not going to reset the chains. Hey, this guy's going out of bounds. Hey, I got to get it to this player. I don't want to throw the middle of the field in these situations. Understanding that and understanding the defenses schematically, that's what's going to really tell the tale about Desmond Ridder, and that's why I think it's important that he's got Taylor Heinicke behind him to help him through some of these film sessions and help him understand what's going on.
Coming up on the other side here on the morning shift, we will hit a TV's timeout and tell you what's going on in my world. That is next here on the morning shift. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports and beyond. This is the morning shift.
Make some noise!
The morning shift on 92.9 The Game is presented by the Georgia Hemp Company
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thanks for rolling along with us here on the morning shift. The Atlanta United, they were out in LA facing LAFC last night. They are coming back with another draw, but I think we can all say Brad Guzan being, you know, back. He's been back for what, the last 2 matches, I believe it's been. It's
three.
Been
this three. Was his third,
three.
Yeah.
One, yeah. Yeah, so the last 2 previous ones. I mean, it's good to have him back.
Yeah, you know, I was at the I had to go by myself to that match last Wednesday without you guys because I wasn't with y'all, wasn't invited, and
you have to give.
Have to go
context.
By myself.
You need to give context.
I had to go by myself, is what he just said.
Well, I went with friends.
We were at the match.
With friends. Anyways, okay. And I was sitting there, and I heard when Guzan made that mistake on that first goal, I heard the guys behind us say, yeah, you know, they should have got rid of him 2 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Huh. Well, Brad's had 2 good games and 1 bad game, and he made that mistake the other night against New England. And then one of those goals that he gave up 3, one of those goals wasn't even his fault. You get a shot off in the 18. I heard Jason Longshore on with Dukes and Bell on Tuesday, and they were basically like, hey, it's Brad's time. He's over. The questions were phrased kind of, it sounds like he's over the hill. We've had the conversation. I think it's time to move on. And Longshore said, how can you have 2 games from a guy where one of them he was phenomenal, which was against Orlando, and then 3 days later – he wasn't as good, which was against New England, which is a better team, and then it's time to go. Well, Brad went out there and showed you it's not time to go, because last night he was phenomenal.
50 clean sheets for him, his 50th
yeah.
MLS clean sheet.
Like. He's one of the few, he is the remaining guy, if I'm not mistaken, on this roster from the championship team, from the OG team. Guzan showed he's not done yet, by the way, guys. Jason Longshore said that he's got to get in a rhythm, and I thought, last night, you saw that, hey, he's still coming back from that injury. He's really been injured for most of the last 2 seasons, and he's got to get some time in. And he went into L.A. against a very good team. he made the save on the PK that we were talking about, Mike, and they said, hey, VAR came back and said he came off the line, which if you go back and watch it, Tiffany, he did. He came off early.
I'm not in disagreement with you.
But did that have effect on the second kick?
Yeah, I was going to say the follow-up kick is the one that was so rowdy, by the way. And look, so many times we come in here and we talk about the United on days after the game, and it feels like they got one stolen from them. All right, when they should have got 3 points, they get 1 point. It's always a last-minute goal and all this. They had no business, in my opinion, winning this game other than Brad Guzan. When you look at the shots, 22-4, zero shots on target for Atlanta United, which they've been known primarily as an offensive team. They struggled defensively. I think they still struggled, obviously, defensively at times last night, but the way that they weren't able to get it going offensively led me to believe that, hey, this is a team that probably doesn't deserve to win or come home with a point. But they did, because Brad Guzan, like you said, stops the PK, incredible save, no matter if he came off the line or not, and then gets in the guy's head, and it's Vila, I believe it was trying to figure out what Guzan was doing on the next attempt. Got in his head, sails it over the crossbar, and is able to look. They're able to pull it out without suffering a goal right there, which led to the draw.
Yeah, and on that second one, it looked like he kicked it really late.
He was hesitating.
Yeah, he didn't know what he wanted to do with it. Right? I mean, Tiffany, how many PK? I know you were a defender. How many PKs did they allow you to take? Because I never got to take any.
You know what? I don't think I ever took any in college. If I ever took any PKs, it was definitely in like the more your younger years, like we're talking like middle school travel soccer team. So, but I do know the amount of pressure that is on you to have to take this. I mean, there's even pressure in practice when you're trying to set up and take a PK. It's like, hey, if you make it, we're done with practice for the day, we're done with this session. If you miss, we're all doing sprints. So it's not the same as losing or winning a game, but it's still it's a lot of pressure. You got to be a different mindset, different kind of player to be able to take those.
Yeah, I just love the fact that Guzan went and kind of showed some doubters that, hey, I've still got it. I'm reading articles. I'm hearing radio hosts, TV people all talk about, you know, is Guzan's better days gone? And look, there's no doubt that he's older in age, but to see him come
he's
out
38.
Last night,
yeah.
Have a clean sheet.
Shout
coming
out to my
off,
fellow 38ers.
Yeah, well, you guys call me when you hit 40.
Old geriatrics.
Stop it.
Look, I don't
want to. Well, it kind of is for a goalie.
I don't want to take too much of TB's time because I know that's been a sticking point.
Oh, my gosh.
Recently.
I'm
but
sick of y'all.
Let me just say this. Last night I was tuning into this game. I'm kind of flipping back and forth between the finals and the Braves game, and I'm like, okay, all right, 10:10-ish is, I think, this is, scheduled start time. So, like, 10:10, I'm like, all right, let me flip over to Apple, which, by the way, as far as cord cutters go, that's probably the biggest pain in the butt is finding the different app that you're going to have to watch for different things. But I turn it on, all right, and there's like a, I want to say 20 to 30 minute buildup for this game, which I don't even think the first kick was at like probably 10:40. But for those 30 minutes, it was interesting to me because not a lot of limelight I feel like is being shed right now in the MLS. But the messy news yesterday and listening to that MLS studio show on Apple last night about how big of a deal this is. I mean, basically, they're saying, I don't want to hear about LeBron. I don't want to hear about Tom Brady. I want to hear about, like, this guy is a worldwide superstar that has chosen to come play in the United States. Maybe not in his prime, but still a very, very good player and has turned down billions from the Saudis and turned down an opportunity to go back home to Barcelona. And he's coming to Miami, and he's going to play in the MLS. And they were saying this is a bigger deal than Pele when Pele came to America, and there's a big – this is a massive, massive deal. It was very insightful for me to get those 20 or so minutes last night watching the MLS studio show just about how big of a deal this is to soccer fans in this country and what this could mean for soccer moving forward. That's been a talking point, I feel like, since we were kids about the growth of soccer and growing the game and growing the professional leagues. But it seemed like yesterday that they were saying that this is the most momentous day in the history of North American soccer. Last night on that studio show, which was very intriguing to me.
Yeah, I've got a friend that is a host in one of their studio shows, and she had posted they were out having drinks, like happy Messi day. So,
I just can't wait for Messi to come here, and they still don't win a title.
Man, I'm glad you guys are real concerned about my time. How much time I got, Oren?
Good. Let it fly.
I just want to give you guys crap.
Well, you're just wasting your own time.
I'm just giving y'all crap because I'm going to pull one of y'all's moves one day and be like, hey, I just got to add one more thing.
Mike talked through my segment yesterday.
Instead of TV's timeout.
Now listen up.
Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's Time Out on the Morning Shift.
We'll just make it condensed. No, I'm just kidding. So my travel stories. I've not traveled in a little bit. Kind of getting the itch to travel. Maybe work-wise. Kind of, sort of. Just kidding. No, it would be fun to be back doing college football again.
Can send you to Flowery Brant. Flowery
Brant. What I'm talking about here is plane travel, getting to the rental car facility. And this might be the greatest rental car story ever. Well, besides when I lost the rental car once. But I won't tell that story today. That's it for another time. That's for another time. We'll discuss that later. No, this... I returned it. I still stand on that statement to this day that I returned that car. Somehow, someone else drove it off the lot. But that's not my problem. Anyway, I'll tell that another time. This was about to be the Maserati story. I was about to end up with like an 18-seat passenger van. I don't even know. There's probably not an 18-seat passenger van. Whatever the biggest passenger van thing is. I get to Miami. I'm covering a Miami game. And it's like midnight when I land, and they're like, hey, this is all we have. The line is backed up. People are angry. It's like the great rental car shortage of 2022. And I'm like, all right, no, it's 2021. And so I get there, and I'm like, look, I'm not going to be mean. It's not these people that work. It's not their fault. I was like, look, you got a passenger van? I'll come up with a cool story out of it. I'll take the passenger van. No big deal. And I get out there, and then this guy comes over. He's like, hey, thanks for not, you know, going in on us. By the way, this Maserati just got back. So I was like, oh, really? So he's like, don't let anybody else, like, don't go back inside. I'll bring the keys back out to you. So he brings the keys back out, and I'm driving off in a Maserati for $35 a day. They honored the rate. So I roll up to the hotel. Yeah, my play-by-play and our analysts at the time were like, how does this, like, what in the world? How did you get a Maserati? But I got a Maserati. I did a whole like tribute to it.
I want to see the pictures.
I will. I'll show it to you.
So let me ask you this: what happened? But on file, it has you as having an 18-person passenger.
No, I had what I had booked, which was like your standard intermediate, you know, or mid-sized like car.
Okay, so what if you did you get the insurance on it?
All that. Yes, I don't handle all that. Is booked through through the company.
Okay, so what my question was is, what happened if you get in a wreck and they're like, how did you get this Maserati when you're on record for having a rent a passenger van?
It would have been on the company. They chose to honor.
This isn't the church van you rented.
No, I didn't rent the church van. I had the smaller car, but it was gone because there were no cars left.
I had a similar thing happening one time. Me and two of my buddies drove from Birmingham to Phoenix for Bama Clemson national title game. And we were just like, flights were insane. So we were like, let's just take a day and drive. Like it was 25 hours. So I rented a car, which was like an Acura or something. And I showed up and I was like, y'all don't have anything bigger than this. Like, I think it was at Birmingham's airport. And the guy looked at me and he was like, basically looking at me like, you're a big dude. And then I was like, hey man, did you play football? He's like, yeah, I used to play at UAB. Like, I'm hyping this guy up. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah.
Do whatever you can.
You know, I'm a former player myself. Does that, you know, he's like, he kind of does a look over his left shoulder, look over his right. And he's like, let me see what I can do for you, man. Goes out, somehow finds a minivan. And thank God he did, because 25 hours later, we're rolling into Phoenix in our town and country.
That's a much better option.
Yeah, much better option than
I would say than a car. Yeah.
For the record, I want to know that I just tried to enhance TB's Time Out for her story. You made it about you. I want everyone to know that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just feeding into the crap that you guys continue to keep saying about the gentleman that called in to try to defend my honor.
Your honor.
Who is your honor.
This is a squid shift.
What was that? A squid shift. So I am just bouncing off of what he said, because
Mike's,
you guys keep bringing it up. I think Mike's mad today.
No, I just tried to shit out. I tried to sit out as much as I could.
Yeah, Mike, just... come on. No.
That's all right.
And I know
come
Mike's going
to
pop me quick.
Talk crap back. Can I not talk crap back to y'all?
Absolutely.
Do I do mine? Like, is mine more like mean? It's like kind of laced with something and you can't tell if I'm joking. Is that what happened?
No. I like that was literally, I was going in going,
Mike,
I'm going to set
never,
this one out.
I can, either
so
you're
I waited
tired,
till Bo got his statement in, then I told
you're
mine.
You're tired. And, I can read your face. You're easy to read.
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
You're easy to read.
Oh, probably so.
You are.
For those of you who don't know what just happened.
Hey, the online folks got a real show just now.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, oh.
A little slip of the tongue there.
I'm done.
Yeah.
How much time
do we have in this?
I think we're done. I think I have to regroup.
We need to go. Okay, I don't know if I need to fill time about how I lost the rental car. We'll save that for another TV's timeout. All right. Still to come here on the morning shift, we will tap into those NBA finals. The Nuggets have retaken the lead in the series, and a major injury for the Atlanta Falcons. Some tough news for the team. We'll talk about it next year on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You couldn't smell the poo on you?
I hate you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.